Welcome to What You Need to Grow, the podcast where entrepreneurs discover the inspiration and perspective shifts that fuel both personal and business growth. Each week, certified professional coach Jenny Bellinger brings you powerful conversations with thought leaders, subject matter experts, and innovative company leaders who share their stories of growth and the tools that made it possible. From fresh insights that expand your vision to resources you can explore on your own journey, every episode is designed to help you grow your knowledge, grow your vision, and grow your business. Now, here's your host, Jenny Bellinger.
Welcome to another episode of What You Need to Grow. I'm your host, Jenny Bellinger, and today I have with me Shiraz Babu. Now, get ready because today's guest is going to shake up everything that you think you know about success. Shiraz Babu is the wizard behind Energetic Magic. He's a multi-award winning author, international speaker, and self-declared reality interventionist. Mm-hmm. I'm letting that settle in for people. A reality interventionist. And he helps people break free from their unconscious addictions to struggle, lack, and self-sabotage. And I could keep going, but you know what? I'm just going to get into this conversation with him because I've interviewed him before on my other show, Badass Direct Sales Mastery. It was one of the most powerful episodes that I've ever done. And that's why I invited him here. So Shiraz, Lord Shiraz, welcome to the show.
It's amazing how buying 3 feet of land can change your title.
I know, right? That's so great. I love it. I love it. So Shiraz, share with us how you got into the reality intervention, energetic magic space.
Okay. There's actually two different things. I'll start with reality intervention.
Okay.
That started when I had started off as a life coach and then a transformation coach. And I was working with people, and one of my clients was complaining, I'm sick of all these problems. Right? Every single day is a problem to solve. It's at home, it's at work, something's always going wrong and I have to fix it and I'm done. And I said, are you a problem solver? And he goes, hell yes, I'm a problem solver. That's what I do at work. That's what I pride myself on. I'm like, oh, what do problem solvers have to keep creating in their lives to feel like they're valuable? He's like, oh crap, problems? I'm like, yeah. So from what I'm picking up, you have not been feeling fully valuable, you've not been feeling in your power, so you keep creating problems so you can feel more valuable. And he's like, but I'm a problem solver. That's who I am. I'm like, no, problem solving is what you do. It's not who you are. And as long as you keep linking it to who you are, you have to keep creating problems in your life to have any value. Mm-hmm. He's like, what? I said, so yes, problem solving is a thing you do. It's not who you are. We need to get this identity in there. And I worked with him for a while till it sunk in. And he called me the next day and he goes, there was no problems. No problems today. It was amazing. And I'm like, okay. I said, so we're good. And I let him off on his merry way. And he calls me back in 3 weeks. And he goes, I had problems today. And I'm like, why do you sound happy about that? And he goes, well, the first week there were no problems. And it was great. And I loved it. And the second week, I was like, when's the shoe going to drop? Because it can't just always be no problems. There must be some problems coming up. And this week I was kind of in full anxiety. And when the problem dropped for me to solve, I was like on it and I felt great. And I'm like, you're describing withdrawal.
Oh.
And that's when it clicked. Every time he solved a problem, he got a hit of dopamine as a reward. And he'd gone 3 weeks without his fix. His body was in full-on physical withdrawal, and it sent signals to his mind, said, create a problem so I can get my fix.
Oh.
Yeah.
There are some people who are like, oh, that explains a lot. Like, I can feel them having that aha moment right now. Like, oh, they, yeah, now you guys get it, don't you? Don't you? You understand reality intervention. So you're working with him. You've both had this realization. He's addicted to that dopamine hit. How, because I, as with a psychology background, No, you can't just take something away and not replace it. So how did you then replace that?
So there's two methods actually. One is to take it away and then deal with the withdrawal symptoms until the body readjusts.
Okay.
And at that time, I didn't know about the replacement, so we just kept pulling out that belief until it stabilized, which takes on average 6 months.
Ooh.
Takes about 6 months to get out of an addiction. Okay.
That explains a lot for me. I just had a
Okay.
moment.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
So yeah, so that's one way to do it. Sometimes when it comes to certain stories and beliefs you're running, you can't think of what can I put in there instead. So it's just I need to pull it out and deal with the withdrawal. The other aspect is yes, replace it. So for me, one of my addictions was working hard, right? So and it wasn't from, people get taught you have to work hard to succeed. I was never taught that. However, I have a big ego. So
Okay.
Jenny's like, I'm going to put in an extra hour tonight. I'm like, oh, I'll put in two, Jenny. You got to put in, I'll put in two. If someone says they're working late, I will work all night. And so I was getting my fix every time I outworked the people around me. And it was burning me out. Okay. So then I said, wait, reality addiction, you teach this stuff, right? So what
Right.
if you replace the working hard with how easy it can be? So I started actively looking for where things were easy. And whenever something was easy, I went, yes, easy, and gave myself a dopamine hit for it. And so then I kept looking in more and more easy stuff. And it was like hitting that easy button. Yes, that was easy. Yes, that was easy. And it was crazy because not only was I recognizing where things were easy, I was now unconsciously creating methods for things to be easy and vibrating at a frequency that easy things showed up for me. Right. So like for instance, I was going to a conference and Catherine O'Leary was going to the same conference. And it was the hotel they picked was expensive as hell. So I'm like, I don't want to pay for that hotel. Now I got to look for another hotel in the area, figure out the commute, all that stuff. It's going to factor in with Uber. How much is that going to all cost? So it's still less. And then work out the flights and stuff. And then she calls me up and she said, hey, I was doing some research and I found a hotel room. In the hotel, through another site, they gave a big discount and it has two queens, so we can split the cost and go even further. And so instead of, I think it was 450 bucks a night each, it was down to 100 bucks a night. Right.
There
So,
you go.
right. And she said, I'm about to book it. Can you just shoot me the money and we'll take care of it? And I'm like, that's really easy. I will do that. Right.
Right.
And so all that happened in the background for me. So that I could say, easy, got it.
Right.
And so now, for the most part, it's not like exclusively because life is life. Everything is easy.
Yeah.
Right. And I get my fix out of everything being easy. So it starts to get hard. My body's like, where's the fix? We have to find ways to make it easy. So it pushes me to make things easy so I can keep getting my drug hit.
I love that. I love that. And for all the times you and I have talked, I think that's the first time I've ever heard that, like heard it in that way, right? I know I've heard the story about you and Catherine traveling together. And that's because we have all traveled
We've all traveled.
together. And I think you mentioned in front of her, and she's like, "Oh, is that why I do all the work? You're manifesting me doing it?"
Not just her, it's a lot
Right.
of people.
It's yeah, people around you, right? But here's the thing. I think the nice thing is that people do, if they're going to do it and they know they're going to be around you, it makes sense to call and make the offer, right? Oh God, that's so good. So good. Anyway. All right, so we talked about that's the reality intervention, helping people out of the addiction. Energetic magic. Now let me tell the audience because they have not heard my story of how I met you. So you and I met on the marketer's cruise, and the first time I ever saw you, it stuck in my head, and probably because it rhymes, and so it's easy for me to remember. You got up on stage. It was during the introductions, and you said, "I'm Shiraz Babu on page 32, and I do energetic magic." And my head went, "What is this bullshit energetic magic?" Yeah, right. Okay, sure, whatever. Like, the scientific psychological skeptic person that I was a couple of years ago stepped in and showed up hard in that moment. And then later that evening, we ended up in a hot tub together.
Yes.
And I got to grill you on what is energetic magic? Tell me more. How does that work? Da, da, da. Like, and so I want people to now hear from you what this is, because they're probably thinking some of them may be feeling the same way I did. Like, what energetic magic? Yeah, right. Okay, trust me, y'all. Been there, done that. So, Shiraz, how did you get into energetic magic?
So just before that, I'm going to explain the name energetic magic because I was never about magic. I was always about energy. And I grew up scientist and I studied quantum physics and I looked at those experiments in quantum physics where if you put a different scientist in the experiment, you got a different result from the experiment because people's thoughts influence what's going on at a quantum level. And so that's actually what's going on is we are influencing things at a quantum level that then work their way up to the macro level in which we see our reality. And so if we think a different way about a certain thing, it shows up in a different way. And so that's what I help people do is to shift that underlying thinking, because it's not the conscious, it's the unconscious. Reprogram the unconscious thoughts so things just show up differently and people do stuff for you and things get easy and your body actually changes from unconscious thoughts without you needing to like exercise and stuff like that. I've had that happen. So there's all that going on. And so I was discussing with friends, we need a name for this modality. And I said, it's got to do with energy. And my friends are like, no, because the results are so quick, it's like magic. And we spent like 20 minutes with them coming up with magic names and me coming up with energy names. And then someone said, what about energetic magic? Ah, oh.
That's when clouds open, you hear angel and the angelic choir in the background, right? But it works. It draws people's attention,
Yes.
right? So explain the history of, so that's the name. So what's the history of energetic magic, and how does it work?
So I started getting into law of attraction and how it functions. And again, I was looking at it not just from the way people describe it as woo, but how it applies at the quantum level. And then how people facilitate these changes. And Bob Proctor with just the mantras, and you say it hard enough, eventually it becomes true. And I'm like, that seems really hard. And I looked at things like Access Consciousness, Theta Healing, the fifth dimensional energy work, body movement feedback, body movement feedback, and Reiki, and all of them. I'm like, like some of them. There's too much there. It's too hard. There's too many things to say and do. And I said, what if we stripped away everything to what the core thing is with each of them, which is get them to be aware of the problem and just say, are you willing to step out of that? Right. So give the person the choice. Here's what you're doing at an unconscious level. And when I say, we call it, are you willing to step out of the story? But it's really basically saying, how about you not do that anymore? Right.
It sounds so obvious, y'all, but trust me, when it happens, it hits you like a ton of bricks, right? Because, to go back to our interaction, right? So in the hot tub, we're talking about this, and you're explaining how all of this works and how it shows up in different ways. And one of the things we talked about were resistances. And so I remember going back to my cabin that night and just kind of, I wonder what mine are. And I woke up the next morning, it was still in my head. I wonder what my resistances are. And I'm getting ready to go do all our stuff on the marketer's cruise that day, and ran into you. Did not see you all day until Pizza and Profits that night. And you walked right past. And I was like, hey, by the way, thanks so much for talking about that, because you've really got me thinking about my resistances. And then you said, do you want to know what they are? And I had this is an explicit podcast, so y'all, I had the little butt pucker moment where I went, do like a combination of gut punch and everything, like, oh God, I didn't think I was gonna have to actually face them right now. There was a yes with a question mark. Yeah, yes. Do I like? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Let's do this. Right. And you sat down, and we did the process. Oh, it's amazing. It's seriously amazing. So, how did you get? So you were looking at all these different modalities, seeing all these different things. How did you develop that? The process for getting to the root of what somebody's obstacle is.
The very first time I had an experience like this was when I was in India trying to get rid of my arthritis. And working with the mentor there, he spent weeks having conversations with me until he got to the core belief that was that caused the arthritis. And at that time, I was just trying to figure out what the hell he's even doing. I thought he was going to do some sort of energy healing on me or something. And
Right.
then he's like, "You believe you're responsible for everyone in your life?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." Pretty crazy. And he goes, "No, I know you don't think that, but at an unconscious level, you think you're responsible for everyone in your life. And the more people you meet, the more that burden's there. And you don't want to deal with it." And I'm like, "Okay, so I'm not dealing with it." And he goes, "No." He said, "In order not to deal with it, you've created the arthritis, because no one's going to ask you for help if you're lying in bed in pain. No one's going to ask you to take care of them if they see you're struggling to get through the day. Your arthritis isn't the problem you need to solve. It's the solution you've created for the problem you need to solve." And I'm like, "What?" Right. And in that moment, I thought, this is completely insane, because there was no cartilage left between my joints. Right. My joints were deformed. I walked like a 90-year-old man. Right. I was in pain every single day. And I said, "I've done this for 18 years to avoid responsibility." And he's like, "Yeah." Right. And I made that decision in that moment. It's like, "Fine, I'm not going to be responsible for anyone else." And he's like, "You can't just say it. You have to mean it deep down. This has to be a truth at your core." And I'm like, "I will never be responsible. If that's what's causing the arthritis, I will never be responsible for anyone but me." And I woke up the next morning and it was gone. Right? No pain, no inflammation, more mobility. I'm freaking out. Now the damage is still done. My cartilage has regrown over the years. Now that I've gotten rid of that, I'm really healthy again. But you wake up in the morning after 18 years of pain and it's gone, and you're like, "What just happened?" Right? Right. And that was it, though. That was the essence of what this is, because he gave me an awareness. I made a decision and it changed. That's energetic magic. So now the muscle I've built is I can tell when your conscious beliefs match your unconscious beliefs. So when we're having conversations, you'll say things like, "I'd like to make more money." I'm like, "No, you don't." No, you don't.
And that's exactly what happened
Right.
on the cruise ship. I don't remember how we got to that particular topic, but yeah, we covered the money, we covered health, we covered some relationship stuff. I mean, I still have the notes like scanned into my Google Drive, like from that. And it's something that every time I see you do what you do and watch that happen, because then I got the opportunity to see you do that with someone else, and I was still having shifts myself.
Because remember, I'm not shifting anything. I'm not doing some woo energy stuff on you. I'm saying, are you willing to step out of this area? You're doing all the work. So even if you hear a conversation I'm having with someone else, if you're like, "Oh shoot, I've got that. Yeah, I'm going to step out of that too." And I'll be in a room with 100 people, and one question will shift 90 of the people in the room.
Ooh. And it's pretty freaking powerful when it happens. I mean, it and what was interesting for me, because it's something that I didn't expect. So the first time it happened, I didn't say anything to you because I was like, okay. Y'all, and I'm speaking to the What You Need to Grow community right now. When he was working with me, not on me, with me, And I was shifting myself. I could feel it in my body. And for me, it was in my solar plexus. So and I brought it up to you eventually because it kept happening every time you would help me shift something, right? And eventually my brain went, wait, there's a pattern here. So when that happens, like, is that, do you feel that too when somebody has it?
Yes. And I end up yawning and coughing.
Right.
And what's crazy is I've had this spontaneous cough since I was a teenager that I couldn't figure out, like, am I sick? What's going on? And it's only when I started doing this I noticed the correlation. Wait, I'm coughing whenever there's a shift. So people have shifts in everyday life. Sometimes they'll have this big awareness, and I'll be standing next to them, and I'll start coughing. And at the time, I was completely unaware that's what's triggering it.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea. Okay.
So now, like, I know, okay, then, and the people around me know. So sometimes we'll just be having a conversation and I'll start coughing and they're like, you're not even talking about shifting. I'm like, someone behind us had some big awareness and I felt it, right? So,
Oh, so you just have to be in the vicinity,
yeah.
like not even in the conversation.
I'm like, my awareness is like of the room.
Okay.
And I can, like, in times like that, it's just because I'm not trying to tune into a specific person, so it's like the noise just hits me. When I'm working on one person, a whole bunch of people can be shifting, but I'm just only coughing when I'm with that person.
Gotcha. So you're focused.
Yeah, but
Okay.
it's amusing sometimes because it's like all of a sudden I'll start to yawn. I'm like, who is that? What's going on with them? Right. So, but that's what it comes down. And everyone's going to have it process energy differently. Some people don't feel anything. Most people have some sort of physical reaction, yawning, a feeling in the solar plexus, a feeling of tingles in the chest and a release. People have gotten hot. I was in one class. One girl was sweating while the girl next to her teeth were chattering as they were shifting the same thing. And I'm like, you should just hug. Then it would balance the temperature.
Right. Well, and the other thing you ended up, it was interesting because as we talked about the physical reaction, you said, yeah, and sometimes people who have been trained in Reiki, their hands will get hot. And that in that moment, I was like, that's why my hands are on fire. But I hadn't been thinking about it. I just thought it was like a physical reaction to the solar plexus shifting thing. And I was like, oh, it's my Reiki. You activated my Reiki.
And it's funny because sometimes I just activate people's Reiki. Like, I was at one
It's
how
happening right now.
I was at a corporate when I was still working corporate and just learning all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's one girl there that studied Reiki, and I'd be walking by her cubicle on the other side, so she couldn't see me, and she'd be like, "Hi, Shiraz," and I'm like, "What? How'd you know it was me? Because whenever you walk by me, my hands activate."
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about then, because this podcast is all about growth.
Yes.
So the in really the intersection of personal growth and business growth. And why I wanted to have you on is because what you do helps the person, which usually ends up also impacting their business. So it does impact the business growth.
So 95% of the things that aren't going that are stopping you from having a great business have nothing to do with your business. Okay. I know that seems a little crazy, that big a number, but that's it. When you clear the personal stuff, the business excels, right? So, for instance, my business was stuck at $100,000 for years, right? And I finally thought maybe this is a mindset problem because I'm trying all these strategies. And you'd think,
Yeah.
mindset guy, first thing I should have tried. No, 10 years, right? 10 years, multiple coaches, multiple programs, different things I offered. Finally, we looked at it, and I was afraid if I made a lot of money, everyone's going to come up and say, can I have some? Can you invest in my program? Can you give to my charity? Can you take care of me? And I didn't want any of that to happen.
Oh, it was back
So,
to the responsibility piece.
The responsibility, not so much the responsibility, it was the overwhelm of all these people asking for money. It was being guilted into giving money to people because I had it great and they didn't. And so there were all a bunch of other emotions, but they're all very low frequency emotions that I was trying to avoid. And when we reframed it, that if someone asked me for money, I'm like, no, right? Like,
Right.
or that sounds good, sure. And there's no emotional distress. Then over the next year, I added $100,000 to my income. And
So.
I didn't change my business, right? Because here's the thing, once you shift the thoughts, the things that you did before can actually start to work more effectively. Or you finally say, oh, why don't I just do this? Because you've been blocking it from yourself the whole time. And you start doing it and your business goes. And that's what's keeping most people from having huge businesses.
There are some people who are having some aha moments right now because especially because the audience that I am gearing this show towards are solo entrepreneurs, people who are generally in business for and by themselves right now. They may have intentions of growing, scaling. They may be in the process of growing and scaling. But the business has always started with the person. So to me it makes sense, and especially since I've seen you work with so many people on so many different things, it makes sense to me that the number for where the problems are coming from is so high on the personal side, but then how quickly it affects the business side.
Like because you're afraid of being alone, because you're afraid of looking bad, because you're afraid people will think the wrong thing, because you're afraid of making mistakes, that's all stopping you in your business. And it's got nothing to do with business strategy, with copy, with any of that. It's just your personal feelings. One of my clients just recently, I've been telling her to break up with her boyfriend for almost 2 years. And it's not like not even a boyfriend. He's a friend with benefits. And I'm like, if he's not even a boyfriend, let him go. And she's like, what does this have to do with my business? Like, because you're terrified of being alone, and that's your biggest anchor. And when you're really willing to let that go, and because it comes into the clients, when you're working with clients that I don't want to do this on my own, I don't want to be alone, that energy's in the room. They can feel that desperation energy. They're not going to connect with you, as opposed to, I don't need to work with you, but I think it would be really cool and we'd have a great time. That energy, people lean in. She dumped him a month and a half ago. And in that month that followed, she did $40,000 in sales. Right?
Go, girl.
Right.
That's amazing. And does she see the correlation now?
Oh,
The
she absolutely recognizes it. Right. She said it was like the next day after I said, I'm done with him, sales started coming in. And I'm like, huh, imagine that. If only someone had told you that a year and a half ago.
Yes, and right. Oftentimes, I think there are some people who just have to experience it themselves, like come to the decision themselves. I've had that experience with some friends of mine, where not just in the personal realm, but in the business realm, like you can lead a horse to water, right? It's the you've done all you can, kind of thing. So that is a really, really fantastic, like, that's a really good result from working with you. But I also know that's also pretty typical of the people who work with you. Not that you're going around and telling everyone to break up with their boyfriends or their girlfriends or whatever, and suddenly they're making money, but the shift happening, and then it happened so quickly because I experienced it myself. We had a conversation. There was someone who was anchoring me, and as soon as that, relationship shifted, I kid you not, 7 days later, I had signed a number of clients, and it was like,
Yeah. And here's the thing, it's always going to come down to an emotion.
right.
You're creating the life you have either because you're avoiding low frequency emotions, emotional distress, or because it's giving you an emotional fix. So an emotional fix is things like if Like, Jenny, we see you're struggling in business, but we got you. We love you. We're rooting for you. And you're like, oh, they're rooting for you. That feels like love. And your unconscious mind says, well, if we stop struggling, they're going to stop saying that. So we're going to lose the love. So we better keep struggling.
Damn it, Shiraz. You know me too well. No, wait. And right? 'Cause I know better than to say but, 'cause you are not wrong. You are not wrong. And 'cause I actually had literally had that thought as I was in a mastermind call yesterday
Wow, okay.
where I went, I'm fucking done with come on, Jenny. You're so good. You can do that. I was like, Jenny, just fucking do it. Just do it. You know to do it. Like, and then here we are today having this conversation. It's like, it feels like validation that yes, that's where I need to go.
The thing is, your mind tricks you to say, because it has a source of its fix. Because people saying they love you, that's not just dopamine hits, that's oxytocin, right? Like that's the love chemical, and you really get addicted to that. And because it's coming from a certain way, your mind says this is the way we need to get it. Even though when you have success, people are gonna be like, oh my God, you have got success, we love you. It can come from that source. And you can get that fix from success rather than struggle. But your mind's like, but I know what works. I'm going to keep telling you this is what works. Stick with it. Right? It's protecting itself.
And solar plexus just happened, y'all. Okay, I don't know who else felt it, who else shifted, but Jenny showed it. So, God, that's so good. Okay. So here's what I'm gonna do, because we only have a few minutes left in our time together here right now today. This doesn't mean that we're not gonna have you back, because feel like we could have some more deeper conversations around this, but I wanted to introduce you to my audience because the people that I have introduced to you through your work and what you do and what you offer, nobody has ever complained. They've all thanked me for that introduction and the work that they got to do with you. And so you actually have something that you do every single year. So the reason I'm saying that is because if somebody's listening to this going, oh man, I missed it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Shiraz, tell us about your New Year's Eve event that you do every year and the June version of it as well, because I'm assuming that they can go to either or both.
So on New Year's Eve, and if you're in North, or I guess South America, it's in the afternoon. So when I say New Year's Eve, everyone thinks it's right before midnight. No, it's in the afternoon, and it's called Release, Reset, and Reignite Your Magic for the New Year. And it's a 4-hour workshop, and what we do is we look at all the crap that's shown up for you this year, and why, and the emotions attached to it, and then start ripping it all out. Cleaning out your system so you can start next year on a clean slate with a different mindset that will cause you to have different results. And people have come out of this transformed. Their next years have been easier. They have been healthier. They have found better relationships and are record holder for money. When I did a 5-minute clearing on someone during that event, it hit him that that's what he's been doing his whole life. And he was going to stop doing it. And he did an extra $3.8 million in sales the next year.
Wow. On a $97 ticket.
$97 ticket.
Y'all. Huh. If you knew, you could be happier. If you knew that you could build the business of your dreams, if you knew that you could make more money from 4 hours and $97, would you do it? And if the answer is yes, then go to the show notes and there's a link that you can click that will take you to the so you can get your ticket. Now, if you're lucky enough, you might be ordering early enough to get an early bird ticket. Yay. If not, that's okay too, but $97 is freaking amazing. And you also have a VIP option for people. What do they get with the VIP option?
So after we finish at 4, we take a half hour break, and then from 4:30 to 6, this is Eastern time, just the VIPs come back for deeper stuff, and we do a bunch of clearing. And I also do in that session, it's called infusions. So most of the time we're just pulling stuff out. Infusions is where I'd say, okay, let's bring in the energy of wealth and infuse that into you so you make more money. The energy of confidence, infuse that into you so you become more confident next year, stuff like that. Plus, after the event's over early in January, we have an event called Aligning to the Energies of 2026, or whenever you're hearing this, whatever the next year is.
Right,
So,
right.
and so now everything's cleared. You've got this clean slate. Now let's set you up so that everything moves beautifully through the next year. So they get the VIPs get that as well.
Ooh, I'm so excited 'cause I think I've always missed that piece of it 'cause the clearing is great. It is wonderful, everybody. Trust me. It is something that is truly transformative. But I'm going to take y'all back to the beginning of the conversation with Shiraz, where he talked about the reality addiction and the withdrawal. And so, yes, you're transformed. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, wait a minute. I haven't had my hit, whatever that is. I haven't had my hit. And you welcome back the old you. So, I've been there, done that. And that's why I was like, oh, 6 months to if you just keep with doing the withdrawal work. But if you come in with the infusion, the replacement, what's the alignment for the new year?
So that's
That's
how we get everything to anchor in. And I've given you some tools, but we go more about the tools to maintain it so that you don't need me. Because one of the things when I say, are you willing to step out of the story? I get so many people come up to me and it's like, I know what the story is. Can you ask me to step out of it? I'm like, no, you do it. Like it's your decision, right? Right.
yeah.
So you can do this on your own. And every like when I work on myself, things come up. I'm like, oh my God, I've got that story. I'm stepping out of it. When I go to other people, it's when I have no idea what the story is because we hide these things from ourselves. And that's what I keep telling people. It's like, if you know what it is, you have the full capacity to step out of it. If you don't know what it is, come see me.
That's good. That's really good. But what I will tell people is if you believe that this is something that could work for you, and I'm telling you, as one of the most skeptical people on the planet, if it works on me, it'll work on just about anybody, because it really does help clear out and allow you to release those things, and then being able to then align into the new thing and seeing the process done over and over and over and over and over again. For those of you who are really smart, and if you're listening to this podcast, let's face it, you're really smart. Let's just put out there the known facts there. You're gonna be able to see what he's doing and begin to understand how to do this. But the guidance is what is needed at first to see, because I had no idea what was possible until I experienced it with you. And so, Shiraz, this has been amazing. So, but before we wrap up, I want to remind everybody, if you want to check out the New Year's Eve event or the June Jumpstart, the link will get you to either one, I'm assuming.
Nope, there's one June jumpstart and one New Year's Eve, so you have to pick.
Okay. I will make sure that we get the June Jumpstart link as well. So that way, no matter what time of year you're listening to this, you can hop on to the next event. Okay. So we'll have links in there for both, because it's pretty much the same event, but it gives you halfway through the year to go, okay, now
Yeah.
it's time to refresh.
Yeah, we created June Jumpstart because people were saying, why do I have to wait a year? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, we could do one mid-year. So.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it's the perfect time because it's right in the transition between, the spring and the summer. So there's a lot going on in most people's lives anyway around that time. So it's a good time to just say, okay, let's do the thing. If it worked 6 months ago, it's going to work again now. So why wouldn't we, just give a little booster. It's a little booster shot for your year to get you through to the next year. I love it. So, Shiraz, is there anything or what would you like to share with the What You Need to Grow community before we wrap up?
Just remember that every consistent problem in your life is the solution for an emotional problem you're not looking at. So when you figure out what that emotional problem is and solve it, the physical problem will go away sometimes overnight.
I love that. Shiraz, thank you so much for being here and sharing what you do with the world and continuing to do the amazing work that you do. I so appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
Absolutely. And of course, What You Need to Grow community. As you know, stay tuned because there's another episode coming because you never know what you're going to need to grow.
Thank you for listening to What You Need to Grow. Be sure to follow the show on your favorite podcast platform or subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a single episode. Want updates straight to your inbox? Sign up at whatyouneedtogrow.com and you'll get notified each time a new episode goes live. Here's to your growth. This has been What You Need to Grow with Jenny Bellinger.